With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to Open Mind UFO Radio. I am your host, Alejandro Rojas, and I am here with Martin Maynard Willis.
Yep.
And now, I say that because you're from Maine, but is that a proper term? I think I made that up. What are people from Maine actually called?
No, they're called Mainas.
Mainas.
They don't use the R at the end. Lobster.
So I'm a Maina.
Yeah.
Did that sound like a
but
Maina?
But if you're sitting on the sofa, so they put an R at the end of sofa.
Weird. Sofa. So strange. What an interesting culture. Do you think their culture has roots from the stars? Wicked.
It's a wicked, interesting culture. Yeah.
Weird.
Well,
and, you know, it reminds me of Stephen King, who's a Mainer, right? Famous.
That's right. He lives as the crow flies about 60 miles from here.
Oh, not too far.
Yep.
All
and
right.
He's got these cool bats on his iron fence that are really, you know. His mansion, he has these big iron bats on his fence and on his mansion. It's pretty cool.
Huh. That's pretty cool. That's weird.
Very spooky. Yeah.
All right. So let's go ahead and get into it. So the show today, first of all, thank you for coming to listening to Open Mind UFO Radio, where we cover UFO news in a more journalistic manner. So we're covering the credible and substantial information, and then we're letting you know if we speculate, whereas a lot of the UFO field is based on speculation. But especially in today's time, you don't need to base everything on speculation, although a lot of our show today actually I think is, but we'll get into that because there's so much credible information coming forward. So one of the things we also do is we talk about the news. Martin and I, the first segment of the show is about UFO news, so the latest headlines that are out there, and of course these are headlines that you can find at our website openminds.tv. so every week we list the latest headlines in the mainstream media. So you can check that out and you can find out what's going on in the world. And it's a great resource because you can go back for years to see all the headlines and see how things are changing and how the culture is changing when it comes to this topic. So that's what's going on. Also, I do want to thank people who have been helping me out on my Patreon site, the Alejandro Rojas Patreon site. It is a ton of help, and I want to keep doing this. And as Martin knows, it's really hard to kind of make sure you can get the funds to keep you doing this, especially when it takes away from other work. And that's something Martin and I always struggle with. But thank you to those of you who do go to my Patreon. You can find links all over openminds.tv or in my blog, alejandrotrojas.com. Or you can just Google me or search for me on Patreon and find me. But thank you all so, so, so much. Had a great response there. Otherwise, I do want to also let you know who the guests for the show are. And the guests are John Semple and Jack Roth. They are two of the three J's in a group called J3 Films. And Jack Roth is someone I've known for a while. He's a paranormal author and researcher, investigator. He's done a lot of ghost stuff. And early on, I turned him on to this really weird case I was investigating of this alleged abductee named Stan Romanek. Now, super controversial story. This is someone you all may know that I investigated for a period of time. And there was a lot of weird stuff that happened. And a lot of weird stuff going on in his life. However, this person also made up stuff. And I caught him several times trying to trick me. And if you're a long-time listener, he tried to trick you, too. You may remember when I did an interview with him. And, you know, this voice came on, "You need to know when to shut up," or something stupid like that. And my good friend Mark D'Antonio, who is a photo and video analyst, and he's actually just came into town, and we're going to go out. He's coming over for dinner, and we're going to go do some astrophotography tonight. But, you know, he listened in and was able to prove definitively that this was a trick, that Stan, you know, rigged this whole thing to trick us on the radio show, for which I definitely do not appreciate whatsoever. So it's a really weird case. So these guys did a documentary on Stan Romanek, and they have a new documentary. Because one of the things Romanek claims is that he had sired some hybrid children, half alien, half human children. And this may sound weird, but stick with me for a minute here. But because even though Stan, I feel, cannot be trusted, during their investigation, during the putting together of this film, they found many, many, many other people who make these claims. And now I'm in this documentary. And here's what my point is. Even though I'm skeptical, abduction is not my area of research, you know, it's based on a lot of anecdotal information. I still believe, because there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people who claim to have these experiences. People come to me because they trust me and share their stories. And these are very credible people who really seem genuinely traumatized by these experiences they believe happened to them. So I really think this whole topic needs to be taken seriously by the psychology community, the therapeutic community, it has to be examined what's going on here so we can figure out how to help these people. Are they being taken by something? I don't know. Dr. John Mack, one of the most famous researchers in this field, he felt that, because he worked at Harvard, he felt it was a non-physical phenomenon, that there was no physical portion to this. However, you know, what these filmmakers, John and Jack, discovered is that a lot of people felt they had, you know, physical encounters. And supposedly, and we'll talk to these guys about it, they've even talked to some of these people's doctors, and the doctors claim that there were some strange things found. So we'll take a look at this. We'll figure out why Jack and John believe this is something important. And we'll kind of examine this kind of really weird kind of niche area of the UFO phenomena, or the belief in aliens. And that is that they're taking us and creating these hybrids. And you got to remember, there are just thousands of people who believe this has happened to them. I mean, what are your thoughts, Martin?
Well, I've been on the fence from day one about, you know, the abductions in general. But I do think that, you know, there could be something to it. I don't want to be closed-minded to it. But I'm not so sure that, you know, all these, you know, thousands and thousands of people with their stories of these things happening over and over again, if it's really happening or not. I mean, I would be a basket case if something like that. I wouldn't be able to function in a normal day, you know, living if something like that was happening, or I thought something like that was happening. And my heart goes out to those people, whatever it is. But I also think that if we are being visited by someone, you know, outside this galaxy, if that is a possibility, then I think, you know, they wouldn't just observe from afar. I think that indeed they probably would want to examine. I mean, that's the first thing that we would do. Of course, we don't know the way they think, but that is something that I think we would do. And then there's the cases that are really amazing, like, you know, Travis Walton, Betty Hill, the Allagash incident, and some others that just seem so credible. I say I'm on the fence, but, you know, I don't doubt at least something is going on.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there are some credible cases, like you mentioned, Betty and Barney Hill, Travis Walton, who I know very well. In fact, I'm going to be doing a talk with him at the Scottsdale Library here in the Phoenix area in just a few weeks. I'm going to talk about other weird cases like Allagash, another credible case, like you mentioned. So I'll be talking about some of these cases, and then Travis will share his experiences. So you're right. So there are these weird cases of these potential encounters. And I think it's a great point, too, that, you know, this is what we do with animals. We tranquilize them. We take them. We do things to them. Yep. Physical, medical procedures. Often, this is either so we discover more about them or so that we can help them. I mean, often it's so we can help them, of course, but they don't like it at all. And who would blame them? Mm-hmm. Like, we wouldn't like it. And if it is happening, it's interesting because it shows that they kind of have a regard for us like we do for animals, which we consider, I guess, a lesser species, or many of us. Of course, I'm a vegetarian because I love animals. But but that they don't – it would also show, you know, not so much a regard for our social the norms or our laws or you know, some of or our comfort aren't necessarily that they're not trying to communicate, hey, here's what we're going to do, and here's what, you know, like a doctor would, here's why we have to do it. And so I don't know, it's very, very strange, but yeah, we'll get into it with these guys. And I love Jack and John because they're really good guys. I think that they are really looking for answers, and this film has gotten a lot of awards already. It doesn't even come out until about the same time as the UFO Congress, and they're going to be showing it at the UFO Congress. And Jack will be there at the UFO Congress to talk about it so people can meet him. And you'll even be able to vote on it versus other films for the EBE Film Festival at the Congress. So we'll see how people react to it.
Well, that's great. And I almost forgot the Pascagoula abduction case.
Right, the Pascagoula case. So we'll have Calvin Parker, one of the witnesses there, and I think that's very credible. I mean, you've interviewed him.
Yes.
And I find him very credible, down to earth. So this is going to be my first time meeting him in person, and I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, he's a real, real nice gentleman.
Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of really good stuff going on at the UFO Congress. Plus, get this. Have you heard about this guest or this attendee, someone who's going to be there? Amazing. Yeah, this guy's amazing.
I heard about him. I think I read this somewhere. Yes.
Who is he?
Me.
How did you know? You know my sense of humor already.
I don't know
if
you were setting that up.
We are having really, the amazing nice Martin Willis there. He's going to be there probably doing some live interviews like he does every year. He'll be helping us out behind the stage.
That's right.
Yeah, you can actually meet and talk to Martin Willis.
In the flesh.
We're going to have a rush to UFOCongress.com to register now. But we're going to have some amazing guests, so go check that out. But so why don't we go ahead and get into the headlines for the week, get into the UFO news. Go for
sure.
it.
Sure. All right. Well, I wanted to start with, you know, this maybe isn't a news story you can read, but it certainly has caused a lot of reaction, I want to say, in the UFO community and out there. And that is Joe Rogan interviewed Bob Lazar. The date was on June 20th. So once that went out, a lot of people were contacting, not a lot of people, but a number of listeners contacted me. And one wrote me and said, well, I was on the fence about Bob Lazar. Now I 100% believe in the whole thing. And you have to watch. So I watched the entire 2 hours, 14 minutes, and 44 seconds. Of course, that's the intro and outro. I watched it in pieces. And right now, there's 3,537,362 views.
Holy moly.
That is really getting a lot of attention. So he's on. He's being interviewed with Jeremy Corbell. And they apparently went out the evening before for dinner and stuff. Well, two things I get out of that, and you know, I get a lot of people that don't like my view on Bob Lazar, because it's still one of great skepticism. Even though I respect people like George Knapp and, you know, a lot of people that do believe in him,
right.
I understand that. So, but anyway, so I watched it, and I personally didn't feel any more convinced. I learned some things. He talks about some things that he had never talked about before, but I'm still, I gotta say, I'm still not there. I still don't have that feeling like this other listener that, you know, this listener that wrote me. But I will say one thing. I do believe that Joe Rogan believes in him. I do believe that.
Really? That would be weird.
Yeah, just by the way the conversation went all the way through. I think that Joe Rogan, there was never anything like in the Tom DeLonge situation. You know, there was no confrontations like that. And so I do believe that Joe buys him 100%. That's my feeling on it. Joe did follow it ever since the beginning. And he's a really good interviewer. He's very sharp, and he does ask some really good questions. But I didn't see anywhere along the line where anything that made me any more convinced than I was before the show began.
Mm.
That's my take on it. You know, and I'd be interested to know what other people thought. And if anyone else out there felt the same way, that, you know, they watched, they were on the fence, and they all of a sudden they think that it's 100%. I would like to know what it is that made you feel that way. And I asked the listener that wrote me and said he's 100% convinced. I said, what? I watched that whole thing. What is it? And he said, I'll have to get back to you on that.
Hmm,
he said, I'm at work. I'll have to get back to you on that. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard from people who feel similar to you and I, kind of on the fence, a little bit on the side of the skepticism. And their needles really weren't changed at all. You know, they found some things interesting and that may have some credibility to them, but they were not satisfied with the questions regarding the concerns they already have. So that's kind of interesting. I mean, I did, so yeah, and essentially it was notes from people. So yeah, I didn't have anybody really responding very strongly either way, and certainly nothing that compels me to listen, to be honest. And that's because I've been following this for so dang long, and I'm over it, to be honest. It's kind of a waste, and here's why I say that. And I apologize to everybody who's into it. I apologize to my esteemed mentor, George Knapp. But I've even told him this. What's the end game? Where do we go with it? We've got one person making these extraordinary claims who cannot prove them at all. So what can you do with it? It's for us to waste time trying to prove something we cannot prove is kind of where ufology was stuck for decades. And you know what? We don't need to waste our time with that sort of thing anymore. Alleged documents from alleged generals or what have you, that are also out there that are people are making big deals about. Mm-hmm. We're wasting our time, because meanwhile, we've got Navy jet fighter pilots briefing the president, briefing the Congress. We have MIT asking to be briefed. We have a lot of really important stuff going on. And it's not to say that this isn't something that we don't keep in our wheelhouse, especially as researchers, because it's incumbent upon me, for instance, that when I get access to some of the people that we have access to, I need to ask them the questions. Well, is this real? You know, are there these programs? If so, where, what, who? You know, like I've been asking Elizondo, or even Eric Davis. Eric Davis is an interesting one, Dr. Eric Davis, who worked for this Pentagon program, because he believes programs like Lazar claims to be a part of or have been a part of exist, but he does not believe Lazar had anything to do with any of these programs. So I think that's kind of interesting. Whereas Lou Elizondo also believes, like Eric Davis, that these sort of things probably exist, but he does not speak about what he thinks about Lazar, so we have no idea what he thinks. So, yeah, I don't know. It's really interesting. The movement, the good movement, is not going to come from a Joe Rogan interview unless they were able to, you know, reveal some startling new evidence. What'll come is when we can get on the record, you know, somebody saying something along the lines of, yes, we do have programs like this. But I don't think that, we're nowhere near that yet, but we're headed in that direction, and that's what's exciting about right now. Some of the peripheral stuff going on may eventually, you know, and does, I think, really turn people's head. So I guess it's more important for people who are not as familiar with Lazar to listen to his story and then see what they think, especially given the new information that we're getting on a regular basis.
Yeah, so one thing, one little spoiler thing I want to...
And I do recommend people watch Jeremy's... watch Jeremy and listen to Lazar if you haven't before, but watch Jeremy's documentary, Lazar. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, just one little thing. I said this is a spoiler for someone. Just to close your ears for a second if you're going to watch the YouTube. Is that Bob is now claiming, and I never heard this before. Maybe you had heard it before, but he's claiming that... these things are at least one of these nine things is an
archaeological.
Thank you. Dig.
Oh, receive.
One of these craft, at least one of the crafts were.
Wow. No, I had not heard that. So that is.
Yeah, I never heard that before. Wow. I'm going to have to take language lessons. I can't understand why I couldn't say that. Wow.
All right, let's get into other news. Let's see. Of course, there's been some news. I think this is a great story. So the War Zone, Tyler Rogaway, who we've had on the show, he's written a few stories. And it's kind of funny. And I think it's important. People have been very frustrated because Rogaway has written about how some of these things could be Chinese or Russian or even black projects that we're not aware of that the Navy jet fighters encountered. And I think that's an important discussion to have. I think that, you know, we shouldn't be getting frustrated with him and calling him a debunker. I think that we should encourage him to see what he can find. Because on the other hand, he is also interviewing witnesses. And so on the other hand, he found, for instance, he talked to some other Navy pilots that weren't in Unidentified, the television show, and pilots we have not heard from yet. And he says that these UFO encounters have occurred constantly across multiple squadrons, according to the witnesses he's talked to. And these witnesses have seen tic-tac objects, but they've also seen the objects, the square inside of the translucent circle that these guys claim to have seen in 2015. So, yeah, he's just saying that he's confirming, at least from pilots, that they're seeing, you know, essentially these UFOs across multiple squadrons all over the place. So it is a very common occurrence. It's not as, you know, it's not just these groups of people that have been featured in Unidentified, the TV show. So I think that's really important. So I think his stories are really important, and it shows the way this stuff is properly handled by credible defense aerospace journalists, because they're looking at all aspects to try to thoroughly vet those. And remember, if you think this is something truly anomalous, then the idea that it's Russian, Chinese, or American technology is the null hypothesis. And in science, that's what you're trying to prove. You're trying to debunk or disprove your theory. And if you can't disprove your theory, that's what gives credibility to your theory. So it's that he's doing this.
That's right. Hey, by the way, the object that they... the sphere with the cube inside the sphere. I was looking at one of your headlines here that you have up on there, and about the loon balloon. Boy, does that look kind of very similar to...
You can see the pictures in the loon balloons, but yeah, the loon balloons can look similar. I think that's why that story's there, and I think that some people have even said, oh, this is what these Navy guys must have encountered. But of course, it depends on the encounter. Certainly, it doesn't fit the Tic Tac encounter, and it doesn't fit all the maneuvers. And
I was just going to say, the balloon stays stationary or floats.
And loon balloons, for people who do know, they're Google balloons for doing internet, and they can kind of maneuver on their own a little bit, but very slowly.
Very slowly. Nothing like what they saw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So all of these stories.
I just wanted to quickly say before we ran out of time, we mentioned Calvin Parker earlier, and he got some unofficial commemorative in Mississippi.
Yeah. Well, you should have mentioned this before because we are out of time.
Oh, no.
Okay. But yeah, there is a official plaque that commemorates the Pascagoula abduction event. And if you want to read that headline or any of the others that we talked about, go to openminds.tv and you'll find this in the headlines in the front page. So we've got them all there, openminds.tv. But we are out of time. Thank you so much for joining us again, Martin.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Let's go ahead and we will get into our interview with Jack and John right after this break. I am very happy to welcome back to the show two good friends, Jack Roth and John Semple. Hello, guys.
Hey, Alejandro.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having us.
Yes, it's always a pleasure. It's always good to talk to you guys. You're always doing something exciting, too. And in fact, where are you right now, John?
I'm in Quito, Ecuador.
Wow, that's so cool. On an extended travel.
Yep, extended travel journey. Get back to the States to make movies, though.
Yeah, right. So I'd rather it. That's the way it should be, where you're vacationing most of the time, and then sometimes having to do a little work here and there.
Yeah, we're full-time digital nomads, so we work 5 days a week doing the heavy lifting, and then the weekends are our fun time. But we're everybody thinks we're on vacation, and then extended vacation. We're just doing our work remotely.
Cool.
But we're happy. We're loving it.
Yeah, that sounds fun. So, and I said, you know, get back to do some work here and there. But actually, I know these films are a ton of work. And yes. You have coming out, and you can tell us when it's coming out. Everything's going on. But you've got this great new film called Extraordinary the Seeding. So maybe you can kind of tell us about that.
Yeah, it's going to be launching on digital platforms like iTunes. Well, maybe not iTunes anymore, but Apple TV, Google Play, Vimeo, Hudu. There's a whole bunch of different. If it's a digital platform that has video content, chances are pretty good it's going to be on that platform. And it'll be on different platforms all over the world. I think it's 125 different countries. We'll have streaming capabilities for the film. It launches on September 3rd, strike of midnight, first 12:01 second on the 3rd. The film will be available. So we're excited about that. And we've had a ton of success with going to film festivals, and we've already earned, I think, around 15 laurels. I've lost count a little bit. We've won the best picture at Pasadena, best picture at the Los Angeles Television Script and Film Festivals. So we're feeling pretty good about the message that we're putting out with the film. It's been very well received. The receptivity has been very well so far.
Mm-hmm. And September 3rd is the day before the UFO Congress. And so the film will also be in the Congress UFO Festival. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I think everybody will be there but me.
Oh, so Jack, you'll be there.
I will be there, yes. Planning on it.
Awesome.
Looking forward to it.
Awesome.
So we'll definitely have people that are in the film will be there, as well as people behind the camera will be there too. We're looking forward to just engaging with people, and the timing of, you know, the Congress is perfect for us, because, you know, showing the film is one thing, having people see it, but then having the opportunity to engage with people and have them better understand why we're doing what we're doing is a big part of it.
Right, especially a group of people who are going to appreciate it, you know, more than others.
Absolutely.
People who will feel some vindication probably, because, you know, a lot of people have been into this topic. And let's get to that. So your film has been well received. You just talked about all these awards that you've won. And what's surprising is the topic, because the topic is
pretty. It'll be interesting to hear, you know, something about the reaction that people have had. But first, tell us a little bit about the topic of the film.
Well, first, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't say that Alejandro, you're in the movie. So
what? Was this done in secret? No, I'm just kidding. Yes.
Yeah, you are in it. You were one of the experts and trusted people that we know that we wanted to get feedback from. And it turned out really great. And so, and you have not seen it yet. Is that correct, Alejandro?
I haven't. And it's my fault because I have been provided links to it, but I actually have not gotten the chance. It's been crazy. And so but I'm excited to see it. And I kind of have mixed feelings. Do I want to watch it before the conference or not? Because it is fun to, you know, share in like the ooh and the ah with everybody else. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, it might be a good idea for you to wait. Yeah, that'd be great. Fun for you. Well, you know, in this particular film, we kind of we took it a little further than our first film that we did, which was Extraordinary, the Stan Romanek story. And we kind of ended that with the idea of this one man having these experiences, being abducted, and then 7-8 years later getting phone calls from and getting contacted by children, 7- and 8-year-olds who were claiming to be his hybrid children. So we wanted to kind of take that concept a little further and dig a little further. So one of the main focuses of the seeding is the seeding. Basically, it's a lot of people who have had experiences, abduction experiences, but also have had false pregnancies, pregnancies that unexplained pregnancies where they lost the fetus after about 2 or 3 months, and again followed by other strange abduction experiences. So we kind of wanted to focus on this film more on the human emotional aspects of people who were experiencing these things. So I think more so the first film was about evidence. As you well know, Alejandro, tons of evidence, right? Tons of things for people to see and hear. In this one, we focus more on the emotional aspects of what it's like to be someone who has these extraordinary experiences and really doesn't have too many other people you can talk to about it. So that's kind of the focus of this second film.
Now, the first film was, of course, very controversial. You know, the situations around the main person in the film became even more controversial after the film was out. But I guess as you all, you know, as investigators, researchers, looking at all of that, do you still at least feel pretty confident, you know, that that Stan Romanek did experience some paranormal activity?
Great question. John, go ahead. What do you think?
I would say that, you know, one of the things, and we get this question asked a lot, and, you know, people saying that he's completely discredited by the things that have happened, that he did, you know, kind of to out himself, so to speak, then the legal issues that he had. But as you well know, there's a ton of evidence. And even if a quarter of that evidence bears out to be true, it's still significant. And I think the biggest things about Stan's case were the eyewitnesses, people who were present when things happened. So you really can't discount those too much. I know there's a lot of people who don't believe in some of that. They feel that some of the things were staged or hoaxed. We spent a lot of time with Stan. And one of the things that I would say is that if you spend as much time as we did, and you see the individual in the quiet moments, and you see the reflection and the emotional trauma that they've been through, because there were times where there were moments of disbelief and concern and fear and you know, questions that Stan would ask us, do you think I'm crazy? Either he was the greatest actor of all time, or there's something to his story. And we tend to believe that, you know, not all of it is 100% accurate. And we didn't show anywhere near the full amount of evidence that he had. Some of the things were a little bit borderline, but we spent a week with him, went over a lot of the materials, and felt that there was enough evidence there to move forward with telling a story. And that story really in the film is between 2000 and 2010, when a majority of the things that happened to him happened. So do we think all of it is true? No. Do we think some of it is? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to walk through this too, especially for my listeners, because I have a lot of listeners, because of course there's been all of this Pentagon UFO news and, sure. and information coming out, and I've got a lot of new ones that have heard all of this kind of meaty nuts and bolts stuff. So this kind of topic is more fringy for them, but I want to walk through, you know, what is it? Why do we take something like this more seriously? And I do want to say, just as a disclaimer up front, I'm not sure what's going on with alien abductions, but like I say in the film, I think it's definitely something that has to be researched. And there are some very credible cases. I feel like Travis Walton, this vlogger who had multiple witnesses, you know, to this UFO and then him disappearing for a period of time. I don't know what's going on there. And then with Stan Romanek, you guys mentioned I wasn't involved with researching that case. And I do believe that Stan's a good actor. I do believe that there's a lot of false information that was given to myself and others. However, like you all, I do scratch my head. I really cannot imagine that he could have faked all of the weird things that it seems like happened to him or people around him. So it seems like there was some genuine strange phenomena going on there. So I get that. So what I want to walk through is how you guys, you know, not only, you know, deal with that situation and create your film there, but then move on to even kind of even ideas and concepts that can be even considered even more strange with all of this, but it seems to be received well. So in other words, I guess the next question would be, when it comes to abduction in the first place, because I don't think, like John, I don't think, you know, Jack has done a lot of paranormal research and writing books over the years. How did you react when you first heard of this phenomena, and when did you come to the idea that, hey, there could be something to this?
Me or Jack?
John, let's hear what you have to say.
Okay. It's interesting too, because Jack has been kind of like the deep dive researcher exposed to a lot of this information, both in the paranormal and the ufology space, for 25 plus years. And I kind of came to the party a little bit late, in about 2009, open-minded to the whole idea that this is a possibility, believe that we're not alone, had three U.S. UFO sightings when I was a kid, two of them that were seen by multiple people and reported to the police department, over 2,000 phone calls in a small town in Fairfield County, Connecticut. So it was, you know, my eyes were open at a very young age. So but I got introduced to this when Jack brought Stan's story to my attention. So my focus, and that was in 2009, my focus has been, I don't want to do too much deep dive research, because I want to go into every interview with a sense of curiosity and wonder that our target audience would have. And I think we're differentiating ourselves from other content providers, video content providers, is we are not trying to send a message to people who already are interested in the subject matter, already believe in it. We're trying to tell stories that engage people across the entire spectrum, from believers to middle of the road to not even knowing about it, to even skeptics, to say, let's assume, let's look at this, let's examine this from the perspective, what if it's all true? So we want people to think about the possibility of an alternative belief structure. Not to say that it is true, because we don't know if everything is true, but we want to present information based on the stories of the people that we've encountered, fascinating stories, emotional stories, traumatic stories, and position those to an audience so that they can look at it from the perspective of, not was it proved or disproved, but geez, I would never want to be in that person's shoes. I would never want to have that experience. What does that mean? If that person's been through something that horrific or that traumatizing or that nightmarish, would I want to be through it? And that's not to say that this is all scary stuff. It's more a matter of, we want to just present the stories that are being told and that are replicated through oral storytelling over and over, not only for in the current time frames, but a lot of corroborative information dating back over several decades. So when you start to hear the same stories being told over and over again from what I would call credible witnesses, because they're from all over the globe, they're from remote countries, they're from big cities. You don't have to be in the backwoods of West Virginia, no offense, West Virginians, to be abducted. You can be abducted in Manhattan. So do we believe all of it? We don't know, but there's enough curiosity there and enough evidence and enough corroboration over the years that we feel that these are stories worth telling.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And I love that idea of, and I love going into interviews like that, just having the wonder yourself and just kind of exploring with your audience. Now, Jack, you have been writing about the paranormal for quite some time. I know you were a ghost hunter, in fact, and of course, I was luckily able to help you get involved with a Stan Romanek story. But, I mean, where, because you, if I remember correctly, you started with ghost hunting. When did you start to consider kind of that alien abduction could be a thing?
Well, and I started with ghost hunting because of something that happened to me personally. And that's why I started down that path. And it's been over 20 years. And actually, it was at the time when I first met John and we worked together at this company down in Fort Lauderdale. And I had gone on this weekend vacation and took some photos, came back, and there were some paranormal, there was something extraordinary on these photographs. And so what wound up happening is I took a deep dive into that and trying to study as much as I can, learning as much as I could, talking to PhDs, the whole nine yards. And so we did that for a long time, and we did a lot of research. As you mentioned, I traveled all over the country doing that kind of research. But we had always, John and I had always talked about doing a documentary. And I was always leaning towards doing something in the UFO field. And the reason for that was simply because I had always been interested in UFOs since I was a kid. And I'm just a journalist by nature. I am someone who is always looking for the truth. I'm someone who's always trying to explain the unexplained. And John and I both, we approach this as documentarians. We approach it as researchers. And what we try to do when we do it, whether it's ghosts or UFOs or whatever unexplained phenomena, whatever extraordinary thing we're talking about or we're presenting, we do so in a way that's objective. And what we want to do is share information. Yes, we're both interested in things at different levels and to different degrees. But the most important thing for both of us is that we share the information, that we present the information in a very objective way. And that's really why we were happy. Look, the Stan Romanek documentary was extremely controversial, and we had people that were, you know, reaching out to us and saying, you know, thinking that we were part of his fan club and thinking all these things. But it for the most part, people were like, you know what, we don't know what to think of Stan, but you guys presented this documentary in an objective manner. You presented the evidence, and you left it up to us to make up our own minds about Stan. Now, some people might say, well, he's full of it. Okay, fine. Other people might say, well, there's something to this, and that's fine too. But we went into it with that objective, to try to get people to think a little bit, to think about these things and to think, like John said, what if this is true? What if this is real? And I think that's why we approach all of these things. Yes, of course, Alejandro, I can speak for myself. I've always been very interested in these things. But as a journalist, as someone who understands how important it is to present these things in an objective, logical way, intelligent way, that's really our number one goal more than anything else.
And another thing I want to add to that is that a driver for this second film, and this is hard for was really hard for us to even comprehend after the film. So the film that we did on Stan was completed in 2013. It didn't get picked up by a distributor until 2017. So there was it was end of 2013. So there was a three year gap there before it got picked up and distributed. And the time it finally got out on digital platforms and eventually on Netflix, we were inundated with people responding on our Facebook page and through email saying, thank you so much for making this movie. I know I'm not alone. Thank you so much for sharing this. I'm not crazy. These things have, and to this day, I just responded to somebody yesterday. People are reaching out saying, I just saw the film. I have to tell you my story. And there, I'm not kidding, Alejandro, when I say it's probably close to 1,000 different emails specifically saying, this is my story. I had something similar. Can I talk to somebody about what happened to me? And that was a catalyst for us to say, there's a lot of people who won't tell their story. Two people that I engaged with within the last 2 weeks said, I can't talk about this to anyone because I'm a public figure. I can't talk to this about my family because I'll be ridiculed. So there are people out there that are keeping these things inside, and they're not having an audience for it because they're afraid of how they're going to be marked. And a person that they could look to as being the reason why they would never tell anybody is Stan. You know, why would anybody raise their hand and say, this happened to me, when you can be a subject to so much ridicule? And I completely understand people reacting to the legal case against him as being a reason to discredit him. Completely fine that you're entitled to that stance, you know, that's fine. But when you talk about somebody who's been through something traumatic, you really have to ask, why would anybody raise their hand and draw attention to themselves in this manner? Because usually the end result is not a positive one.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that is one of the great points in why we have to pay attention to abduction, the phenomena, because it is a phenomena in that there are so many people reporting this. And like you said, mm-hmm. a lot of these people are very credible people. And even though it's hard to find physical evidence for the most part, the amount of anecdotal evidence is really overwhelming. Now, did you find that to be true? Because now you tackled kind of a niche inside of this fringe topic already of people who believe they're part of a hybridization program, like aliens are trying to create these human alien hybrids. Now, did you find a lot of people that had feelings along those lines?
John, I'll start that one, I guess.
Sure.
John and I love to split answers. We try to go back and forth, but we never know who wants to answer something first. We were surprised by now, again, during our research that we were doing for the Romanek documentary that we actually started meeting people who were talking about this in particular. We had met a couple of women who talked about having these unexplained pregnancies and abduction scenarios and all of the trimmings associated with being abducted and being tested in some way that had to do with reproduction. And women who were saying, well, also I was later on, whether it was 2 years later or more, introduced when I had an abduction, apparently aboard some kind of a craft, where they're introduced to their hybrid children and they feel this strong emotional tie to it. So when John and I started hearing these stories, and plus the fact it was one of the most compelling parts of Stan's story were these phone calls he was getting from apparently these hybrid children and some of the photographs and some of the other stuff that was happening. And we just felt between that and the stories we were hearing from women and men who were being abducted and being experimented with from a reproductive standpoint as well, that this was just the logical next step. And we knew we had enough. We knew we had enough people who were willing to talk about their experiences. Now, one thing that was different was that this was one of those things that was harder to get evidence. We were spoiled with the Romanek documentary in that we had 10 years of evidence and whether it's physical evidence, audio, visual evidence that we could present to people. With this story, there was a lot of people telling their stories, but, you know, doctors don't talk, even doctors, their doctors who, you know about these false pregnancies, they don't want to talk about it on the record because of their careers. They don't want to go out on a limb to say, oh yeah, this was the strangest thing I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to get them to talk about it. And it's not the kind of thing that, you know, as far as John and I and all the research we've done, we haven't really come up with too many photos of hybrid children out there. So
yeah, it was more, I'm not cut you off right there. Sorry. Just because we got to go to break. No, it's not necessarily okay. That you're, we're going to go to a break real quick. We, those of you listening on the radio will hear a commercial. The rest will hear a short musical interlude. But yeah, we've already used up 24 minutes. So we'll be right back with John and Jack talking about Extraordinary the Seeding. Very exciting stuff. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Open Minds UFO Radio. We're here with Jack and John talking about Extraordinary the Seeding. I keep wanting to say seedling. But before we went into break, Jack, you were talking about how hard it was in this kind of this area of the phenomena where people are claiming to have, you know, these experiences where they're having these hybrid children during their abduction experiences, but that you heard from a lot and a lot, but it was harder to gather evidence. You were mentioning, you know, doctors and that people had experience where they were pregnant and then not pregnant. Is that what I'm getting? So people who actually went to the doctor were told they were pregnant. Then the baby was no longer there, but and they had a memory of the baby being taken or something like that. Maybe you could walk us through that.
Correct. And a lot of times, so they would go, they're pregnant. They get, they have a gynecologist, they have their doctor they're going to, they're going through the pregnancy process 2 or 3 months into it. Overnight, the baby's gone. They feel like the baby's gone.
But and not a miscarriage.
Right, exactly. That's the key, John. Not a miscarriage. There's nothing there to suggest a miscarriage. And they'll go to the doctor's office and they'll say, the baby's gone. And the doctor will examine them and be like, okay, what? It's in a lot of cases, doctors, I don't know if they've ever seen anything like this. Or some doctors will say, well, your body absorbed the fetus. So that's why there's nothing, there's nothing there at all. But then they'll also do a gynecological test and determine that there's, and John, help me with this. There's things going on with them gynecologically. Yeah, scarring,
uterine scarring, and saying, yeah. You know, on three different people that we spoke to, shared very similar stories where their doctors through exams said, what happened to you? What type of procedure did you have? You know, there's so much scar tissue. And they were like, I've never had any surgical procedures whatsoever. So those are head scratching moments for the physicians when they go through that process. We came pretty close to getting a physician to go on the record. Had several conversations. He completely agreed that this is a phenomenon that is happening. The whole idea of someone being pregnant one moment and then not, he wasn't, you know, going to say that it's aliens, but he was saying it's confounding because the easy medical response is that the body absorbed the child. The missing fetus syndrome type of thing. And, that's the easy out from a scientific point of view. And he was saying that there's something more to this. We couldn't get him to go on the record. Eventually he decided not to, but, we kind of put an all call out to a whole bunch of people, to say who can connect us to a physician that would be willing to talk about this. And we had two or three different people that the conversations got to a point where they were curious about what we were doing, but never committed for obvious reasons. You know, unless they're at the end of the twilight of their career, they're probably not going to go on the record with something like this because it could be damaging to their career. But to double back on one of the things that Jack was talking about before, and to, you know, part of the question that you had asked earlier before the break, we interviewed about 30 different women and men for this film, and several of them were not willing, you know, once they had a chance to talk about and tell their stories, they weren't willing to go on camera. And the primary reason was the backlash. What's this going to mean to my career? What's this going to mean to my family? And even the three people that we wound up being the principals that are featured in this film, we had to make it very clear to them is that, you know, once this film goes global, your life is exposed for all the world to see. Are you okay with that? And we had to say that to everybody. And a lot of people said, no, I'm not okay with that. They're frightened by what that would mean. And the three people that wound up stepping forward to be filmed are aware that a tidal wave may be coming their way come this fall. So it was a process that we went through to qualify the people, and we wanted to make sure of a couple of things. One, they were credible. There were people just like you and me, people, you know, your next door neighbor, a coworker, a family member. We wanted to make sure that their stories were compelling. We wanted to make sure that their stories or their presentation was something that people would be engaged with. So we pared it down to three people primarily, Geraldine, Rob, and April, who have never really been focused on their stories aren't out there. They're newer stories. So they're people who you're not going to see in the circuit of the different UFO shows. They're new people that have been willing to risk exposure and risk their stories and risk their privacy as a result of volunteering. But it's important work, and they understood that.
Right. So with these people, I guess with some of the stories that you heard, did you run across anybody? Because I'm not even sure if this is so much a thing. I think people would assume it is, but I want to hear from people who actually talked with individuals. Did you run across many people who you felt were making up their story?
Not many, no. If at all. If any.
Mm-hmm. There was fear, genuine fear with some of the people and the retelling of their stories. I mean, we spent a month doing almost every single person we spoke to when we were going through the process of vetting and qualifying people. It was a 2-hour phone call. And almost every single one of them with the women, they cried. There was an emotional retelling, and some of them were, it was very difficult for them to kind of go through the process of reliving that. And again, I'll go back to the whole thing with Stan. We saw Stan in vulnerable moments that most people who have watched the film think it's just a promotion of his life and his story for a financial gain, which is ridiculous. If you've been with somebody who has been through something like this, you see the trauma, you see the emotion, you see the fear, you see, you know, how they respond to ridicule. And when you're sitting on the phone screening somebody, and you hear them tell their story, and it is a very emotional story for them, you engage. And why would and most of the people we spoke to had never told their stories before. The people that we were kind of screening for the primary stories, they had never shared their stories publicly before. And that was important to us, because what do they have to gain? The three people in this, one of them, Geraldine Orozco, from the time we first spoke to her to today, her story has grown. She has had a lot of exposure through some of the things that she's been doing, because her story is very unique. Her career, she gave up a 6-figure career. She gave up an engagement to her fiance because of the experiences that she had and what she learned through 2 regressions. She said, I can't not do this. I have to help people who've been through something similar to me. And she's dedicated her life. She's in her 30s. She's dedicated her life now to help people who've been through similar situations that she's been through. So when you hear stories like that, there's a lot of conviction and commitment to an alternative life path as a result of an event that happened, multiple events that happened to her. So those are stories. Then the other two are very different. And we hope that when people see the film, they'll realize that there's a lot of different ways that people are having these abduction and fertilization experiences. There's not, you know, we think of reproduction in a sexual manner. That's not necessarily the way it is, although there are some stories of that as well. So it's just something, it's very compelling, you know, when you're talking to people and hearing their stories, and they're sharing it from an emotional, from a fear-based perspective, from a I'm afraid that if this gets out, it's going to ruin my life type of thing. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, we didn't come across, you know, 30 people is not a global sample by any means, but the people that we spoke to, no one that we talked to, we felt were misleading us in any way.
Mm-hmm. And the reason I ask is I think a lot of people assume, oh, you know, they heard they were making this movie, so they just tried to get in the movie or something like that. Right. But, you know, as you stated, and I would personally trust what you guys have to say, is that you vetted these people at least to...
Yes.
Find them compelling yourself. Now, you talk to 30 people. Do you think there are a lot more? Like, how do you have any sense of how many more people out there believe they've had these experiences?
Well, I think if you extrapolate, there are researchers, people such as Barbara Lamb and Yvonne Smith, who deal with these people who have had these experiences all the time. And they're doing regression therapy and other therapies with these people. I think Barbara Lamb, one of them, and I can't remember who said it, but it's at least tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people throughout the world. And that's just an extrapolated number, but it could even be more than that. You know, here's the thing, Alejandro, and I think this is an important thing for everyone to remember, is that regardless of what this is, and again, in this film, we don't try to tell people what this is. We don't know what's going on. We have no clue. And in most cases, people who are experiencing these things have no clue. They're scared. They feel alone. They feel isolated. Their lives are turned upside down. But no one really knows what's going on. But one thing we do know for sure is that it's part of the human experience. It's part of the human condition. This is happening to a lot of people. A lot of people are suffering. They're suffering alone because they feel like they can't talk to anybody about it. Their relationships, their marriages are suffering because of it. And that's the important thing for people to remember here. Where it's not so much, okay, what is it? Is it this ET race doing these experiments and hybridization experiments to take over the world? Well, that's just one theory, and we do get into that, and we're going to be getting into that more in our next film. But the important thing to remember is the fact that people are having these experiences, and they are suffering, and they're going through profound emotional they're experiencing profound emotions because of it. And as other human beings, because we're all part of the same human race, I think it's important for us to at least consider it and be compassionate about, wow, well, maybe they are definitely going through this, and there's something we should consider and be empathetic about.
Right. Yeah, I mean, personally, having been in this field for so long, I've heard some of these stories, and you can't help but feel for these people. And they do are very compelling. Who I will send them to is some of the people you mentioned, like Yvonne Smith, who's a licensed therapist, named with Barbara Lamb. I mean, they're licensed to do this sort of work on multiple issues, not just this. But, you know, I would say the same, that it's a hard thing to think about as being real, but the stories are really compelling, and that's what's exciting about your film, is that you're putting forth some of these compelling stories.
And we think that by telling these stories, a couple of things are going to happen. It's going to create awareness to a phenomenon that not a lot of people know about. So our goal with making this film is to move it from the shadows, from the fringes, and into the spotlight, and into the masses, making it accessible to the masses. So by doing that, we create awareness to something that other people might not have even comprehended before, or even heard of before. That's one thing. The second thing is to encourage, as Jack said, humanity to be compassionate and empathetic, so that we care about people who've been through something like this. As Melinda Leslie says in the film, when someone that you know has cancer, or someone loses a family member, or someone goes through a divorce, we're there for them. We're their moral support. But why, when somebody says, because they've been through an experience like this, do we walk white circles around them? So that's another part. Let's be compassionate. Let's encourage empathy. And the third thing is, for the people who've had these experiences, you need to know that there's a tribe out there who's had them just like you have, who are willing to get together and work with each other to help them cope and move through life knowing that something like this has happened with them. So we want to create awareness, encourage empathy and compassion, and let people know there's somebody out there who can listen to you, and you can tell your story. You don't have to keep it a secret, because the longer you keep it in, the harder it is for you to deal with it. And it can, you know, and some people, it just eats at them for a long period of time, to the point that it's, you know, the trauma is emotionally severe to them. So, you know, we didn't start this film thinking it was going to turn into something that was more emotionally driven. But as we went through it, we realized more and more that this is an emotional story. This is about humanity. This is about compassion. This is about, we're all in this together. How can we help people who may have experienced something that we can't quite understand? And as Susan Bedell says in the film, unless it's happened to you, it's just a story.
Right.
So, you know, that's an important point. And I think it's one of the lines I remember most from the film, is that for the people who've had the experience, who are listening to this show right now, they're shaking their head up and down and going, yeah, that's how I feel. And for the people who've never had an experience, hopefully they're going, well, maybe I should listen to people that, you know, have said they've had something weird to them. That's what we want to have happen. That's the emotional component, the compelling humanity advancement that we're hoping will happen. It sounds lofty, but we ultimately feel like if this reaches a wide audience in the way that we think it will, it will open some eyes and encourage a more human approach to people who've been through something that we can't quite understand. And we don't understand it. But mm-hmm. we can see the emotion, we can see the pain, we can see the trauma in the eyes and in the stories and the responses that of the people that we've interviewed.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask this too. So bringing some of the latest news into it, there are a lot of people in the UFO community who feel like, you know, this Pentagon project and this revelation about the government taking UFOs seriously is just the beginning of kind of an unveiling that they know about all of this stuff. They know that these sort of things that are in your film are going on and happening. How do you all feel about that theory? Or do you think the government might be not, if this is happening, not might not know anything themselves?
Oh, well, you know, again, we've spoken to so many people. And we actually just finished filming our third documentary, and we talked to a lot of ex-military guys in that. And, you know, you get different opinions, but it seems like the government now they're dripping out information little by little. But there's a lot of people that believe, well, you know what, they've had every right to hold this back from us because it would just be too much for people to handle. And there is actually a part of me that agrees with that. I don't think that government secrecy is a good thing. I'm not saying that at all. But when you think about what the implications are when it comes to UFOs, ETs, ET contact, and some of the possible programs that the military and or ETs have been involved in, there is a lot to answer for if it all comes out. Because imagine all the people who have been abducted. Imagine all the people who do have hybrid children here and on other planets. And imagine if it came out that, oh yeah, you know, okay, you know, we kept it quiet during the Cold War because, you know, we didn't want to, it was a national security issue, but we feel at this point that everyone needs to know. That's heavy stuff. And, you know, John and I, we have long conversations about this. You know, how would they ever come out with all of it? You know, it's almost impossible.
Right.
Because they'd be held accountable.
Yeah, and it seems like it's a soft disclosure. And, you know, the more and more we talk to different people and experts who've been studying this for you know, decades, there's this belief that the disclosure isn't going to come from the government. they're just not going to do it. It's going to have to come from the people in some way, shape, or form, or that, you know, information is discovered, stories are told, exposure, you know, not like the hoaxing images that you see on YouTube. It's just, those things are just not, I mean, there's just too much of that. People trying to pass something off as some revelation when it's really not. And that's unfortunate, but that's the world that we live in. You know, getting clicks is a big deal. But we think that, you know, based on the different things that we've heard about, you know, to me, one of the things that I found very compelling during the interview process we just completed a few weeks ago for our third film is that the storyline has changed from UFOs to UAPs. It's almost as if they're trying to, like, that old story is, that's old stuff. That's not important. The UAP stuff is all about technology. And the first disclosure is going to be advanced technology. And then down the road, oh, by the way, this is who we got it from. And to me, that's kind of crazy, because if there's advanced technology that we got from somewhere else, there's intelligent life that created that advanced technology that we learned from. So how can you put the cart before the horse? But it seems like they're trying to control the narrative.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. I'm kind of, I don't know. I don't see that yet, looking at the details. But it may be. But either way, I think you made a good point. So if we're having secrets kept from us, or if they don't know, nobody really knows. Either way, it's important that we take it upon ourselves to listen to these stories and try to understand these things, which is what makes, you know, doing your film so important. And what's interesting is that it has been so well received. I mean, was that shocking? Did you guys get embarrassed at all, like going to the Pasadena Film Festival and putting forward your film? Were you nervous that they would just kind of roll their eyes and not let you even be included when you went through that process?
For me, my response to that is I knew when the film was, the final cut of the film was done, that we had a important film. There was no nerves whatsoever for me at the first film festival in Fort Lauderdale that we screened at, none at Pasadena. And the response to both screenings that we were present for was overwhelmingly positive. And the Pasadena festival, I would say half of the people were in tears as a result of seeing this film. So it's an emotional story. It's something that grabs people in a way that no other UFO story has before, because this film is about the people who've had things, who have been subjected to the phenomena, when almost everything else that's out there is about the phenomena. Very little has been discussed about the people who've been through, and we take a deep dive into the emotional impact that an experience has on an individual.
So interesting, and it's so interesting, I think, and that you know, it has been received so well. I guess it wasn't shocking to you, John, but what about you, Jack? Because you've been doing this paranormal stuff for a while, and, you know, the 90s were not friendly, I don't feel, at least to the UFO topic. People were making fun of it. It's not until recently that the mainstream media has kind of been a little more friendly to all of this stuff and just not outright, you know, making fun of people who look into it. How has it been to have your film so well received?
Well, it's been an amazing experience. But the one thing that John and I knew going into this whole thing when we first started was that we knew we were going to do it the right way. So if you do it the right way and you do it with integrity and you have a sense of purpose that is of high integrity, and you're going to present things in that kind of a manner, then you know that. And one of the things we always try to do, and I did this with the ghost stuff too, you have the stories, but we always try to balance it with experts. So we always wanted to get, we want to get the researchers that have been doing this. We want to get the people who have dedicated their lives to doing the research, doing the work, and which is why we had you in the first two films that we did. You know, we want to get people who are respected, who will talk about this. And then you mix that in with people's stories and the evidence, and you just present it in a logical, objective manner. And it should do well. It should go over well with people. And John makes a great point. And he always makes this point. I think it's the most important point. We're making these films for everyone. we're not making these films for people who just are totally into UFOs and already believe. And we're not, you know, we're trying to hit the middle ground for people who are open-minded enough to at least say, I don't know if I believe this, but boy, darn, did Stan Romanek go through hell. Or I don't know if I believe this, but that woman sure did seem like she was telling the truth. I might want to do my own research. Now, there are always going to be...
My favorite one, though, is that I don't know if I believe this, but I sure as heck wouldn't want to be that person.
Right.
Right.
Unless it's happened to you. Unless it's happened to you, it's just a story.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right, exactly.
Well, Well, that's what's exciting. And, of course, the UFO Congress does include a lot more of this sort of topic. So we always have Yvonne Smith there, who you mentioned earlier. Kathleen Martin, who works with the Mutual UFO Network, and her, of course, she's related to someone who had a famous abduction experience. So we have a lot of these people, and I think even we're going to have Geraldine Orozco, who's in the film. So it'll be that community, and that's what's going to be really exciting. It's to showcase your film there, but also, you know, have you got all there to be able to share with stories like this, that it's also being well received and people are, you know, considering these sort of things that have been considered by people at the UFO Congress for many, many years. My goodness, I mean, Yvonne and Barbara, for instance, have been doing this sort of work for decades. So it's been out there. But really exciting stuff. I think that it's really brave, courageous for you all to tackle these topics. And it's important for, you know, we may be embarrassed, but a lot of times the topics that we're most nervous to take a hard look at are the ones that we need to take the hardest look at.
Right. Yeah, and I would say, too, that when we after we made the first film, my mindset was that I wasn't going to do another one of these in this genre because I didn't want to be pigeonholed as a documentarian just within this space. But we had an opportunity to fund the second film much easier than we did the first film. So it was like, okay, let's move down this path. Let's do it again. But it wasn't until, you know, almost to the end of the filming of the interview process for this second film, for the seeding, that I realized what was going on. And this was about helping people better understand what's happening to other people. So for me, it became a compelling human story, not a UFO or an ET story. To me, that got me hook, line, and sinker. That got me in the fields, so to speak. So I felt compelled that, okay, I'm okay with this. I'm okay with telling these stories because they're important to the people who've been through it. And if we can help the people who haven't been through it better understand what's happening to people who have been, then we've done a very admirable thing.
Well, I'm assuming because the first film eventually, like you said, it takes some time, got some great distribution. And it sounds like this film will get that as well. So people will hopefully then be able to see it pretty much on all the streaming platforms out there.
Well, one of the things that everybody asks is, when's it coming to Netflix? Well, that's not in our control, and I want to make sure that that's very clear. The film is launching on digital platforms, pay-per-view and digital download on September 3rd. Our distributor will be pitching the film, but there's no guarantee. Netflix has completely changed their model. It's all Netflix-exclusive stuff these days, so we don't know if it's going to land on Netflix, but there will be every effort made to try to get it onto one of these ubiquitous platforms like Amazon Prime, or Netflix, or Hulu, or even Gaia TV. So, and there's a whole bunch of new content platforms that are coming out too. Warner Brothers and CNN and Disney. All of these places are going to be looking for content. Not to say that this is going to wind up on Disney, but you know, there are our distributor will be looking for those channels. So, for everybody who's going to sit back and say, "Well, we'll wait to see when it's on Netflix," we don't know that. We don't. There's no guarantees that it's ever going to be on that type of a platform. But we think the story is pretty darn compelling.
Mm-hmm. So your website is j3films.com. People can kind of get updates there. Is there anywhere else people can keep up to date?
Yeah, facebook.com/ EX2 The Seeding, and that's where we have most of our engagement is on that. So it's facebook.com/backslash EX2 The Seeding. And if anybody listening wants to comment or share their story or, you know, say, hey, who do I talk to about this? We have connections to people who are willing to help. So definitely reach out to us and we'll do what we can to have your story heard in a compassionate way that no one's judging you, because it's your story, it's unique to you. And if it's been traumatic in some way, shape, or form, and you need an outlet for it, we'll do whatever we can to help you find that outlet.
Well, thank you guys. The time just absolutely flies. It feels like it was like 5 minutes. The time flies when it's fun to stuff to talk about. But thank you guys so much for coming on the show. I know you guys are really busy traveling the world and whatnot, and apparently working on your third film, which I didn't even know about. But thanks for coming on. I'm so excited for people to see the film. Congratulations on such a wonderful reception that you've received at all of these film festivals. And then maybe, you know, I guess who are some of the other names that produced it? Because I know you got some help from some of our other friends.
Sure. We had Chase Klotsky was an associate producer, former field director for MUFON. Lori Wagner is also a producer. Jamie Cernoff. So those are the principal people who help kind of formulate everything that happens behind the scenes. So we're super appreciative of everybody who was involved both in front of and behind the camera. I'd like to give a special shout out too to Patrick Lomantini, who was the editor on this. He created a very engaging visual story based on the interviews that we got. So big shout out to him, and to Anton Patzner for the soundtrack. He scored the entire film. It's wall to wall sound. There might be 30 seconds where there is no music, and he scored the whole thing, and it's phenomenal.
Wow, cool. Well, good job, guys. Thanks so much for being on.
Thanks for having us, Alejandro.
All right. Well, thanks. I'll just edit it there. But yeah, thanks so much for making the time. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, Alejandro, really appreciate it. Yeah, we really do.
Yeah.
I appreciate you giving us a platform, you being a friend, you being someone who allows us to, tell these type of stories and pull you into them to a certain extent. And we really appreciate your approach to this too, is that you're not all in, you're coming at it from a very healthy perspective. And we think that adds credibility to what we're doing.
Well, you know, absolutely. I really feel like, because I'm pretty close with Lou, like the guy who runs the project, used to run that Pentagon project. I speak to him almost every other day, in fact. And, you know, it's like they're kind of some guys exploring what the heck is going on. They're kind of like us, but, you know, worked for the government and were able to get Harry Reid to get him some money and coalesce this kind of investigation. But they know other stuff is going on, and some of them have had their own experiences. So it's kind of an exciting time, because I think films like yours will show people that there's other stuff going on that we have to look into. And like I said in the film, I mean, I think it's vital that people take a more serious look at all of this stuff. I mean,
when
you have these huge amounts of people, you know, feeling like they have this, we owe it to them to at least try to understand what they're going through.
Yeah, the emotions that came out in this film, they kick you in the gut. The fact that these people were that vulnerable on camera, even Melinda Leslie, who she broke down twice during the interview in tears. And she goes, I never let my emotions go. I never allow this to happen. And, you know, what we show in there really is that she's angry and frustrated. And she really is that kind of the emotional center of this film, and wants to kick. I mean, we were shocked, and everybody that has seen it was shocked by how amazing she was. Like Richard Dolan's like, I've known Melinda for a long time. She has a very difficult time keeping focused when you're talking to her sometimes. Mm-hmm. He said, but my jaw was on the floor every time she spoke. He goes, I could not believe how compelling she was. He goes, she really hit a grand slam. She was phenomenal. So yeah, that was a big part of it for us, is the emotional side of it. And, you know, to sit there and hear some of the stuff that happened to these people is just, to them, it's real. We don't, you know, we're giving them the benefit of the doubt, because when they're telling these stories and the emotional response that we got from them, it's just really hard to discredit them. And the people that we have are credible. We don't have a bunch of Stan Romaneks in this film.
Yeah.
We were careful. You can only be so careful, but yeah. But Alejandro, so you know, the third one we just finished shooting real quick is we just take it. We go deeper. We take a deeper dive into the whole idea of, okay, if there are these hybridization programs, we talked to Clifford Stone. We talked to Lynn Buchanan. We talked to Dan Sherman. And then we took a look at the three kind of paradigms out there, the whole religious, paradigm of, well, it all has to do with the Bible. We did an ascension paradigm, which is all kind of love and light. And then we did a colonization paradigm, which was basically Dr. David Jacobs saying we're all fucked.
Right.
So just so you know, yeah. We just finished filming it, but now we have a long way to go with the editing. So we'll keep you updated on that too.
Well, yeah. The good news too is that we're expecting to have this release in September of next year. So if Congress is around the same time, we'll see what we can do. So maybe if we pushed it out a week, maybe we can have the premiere kind of coincide with you.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah, well, we'll keep in touch. But great to talk to you guys. I got to run. In fact, we're going to be leaving here hopefully pretty soon to go to AlienCon.
Oh, so, cool.
Awesome. Yeah, in LA. So,
if you're not doing anything on Saturday night at AlienCon, hop over to Disclosure Fest because our film's screening at 8:00.
Is that like near there or something?
Yeah, it's in LA. They're both in LA.
Okay. I didn't realize
Disclosure
that.
Fest is more of a, I don't want to say a hippie thing, but it's much more of a spiritual ascension driven, there's a mass meditation at 3:00 PM, I think, but they also have ufology stuff and our film's going to be screening there. So yeah, that's another big plus for us to have that type of exposure at, over 30,000 people at the event. So.
Oh, really? Wow. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
It's a big, we're in one corner of the world there, but hopefully we'll get some good exposure that we can use for social media.
Yeah. Well, great. Well, thank you guys so much. Always a pleasure talking to you guys.
Yeah, Alejandro, okay. And I look forward to seeing you at the at Congress.
Yeah, that'll be. It's too bad you won't be able to make it, John, but at least we'll have Jack with us.
And you'll probably get another J there too, for sure.
Oh, good. Two out of three. That's pretty good.
Right.
All right, Alejandro. Thanks again.
Thank you so much to Jack Roth and John Sumple for being on the show. Two of the three J's in J3. And you'll be able to see Jack, like you said, at the UFO Congress. And he'll be there to present the film. And you're going to get a sneak peek of this film, too, out of others that are part of the film festival. So you're really lucky. And I know, that this topic is pretty weird, no doubt. But I do know some of the people that are in the film. And they're very nice people, very good people. And, it says a lot that this film has won so many awards. And these are awards of regular film festivals, that are watching documentaries on a lot of different topics. But the audience seemed to take this topic very seriously, even though it's so odd and different. So congratulations to Jack and John for putting together what must be a brilliant documentary and something that I think, we ought to take a look at. And like I said before, there are thousands and thousands, I mean, a lot of people who believe that they're having these sort of experiences. And so for that reason alone, it should be taken seriously to kind of figure out, what's going on here. Is this some kind of psychological manifestation of some other kind of emotional issues, or is this something else? And because of, you know, even all of the credible people I think that you'll see in this film that are claiming to have these experiences, you know, we need to take a look and see what the heck's going on here. So it's great that Jack and John have been brave enough to kind of take a look at this topic and to put this out there. And, of course, it seems like they've done such a great job because of all these awards that they've won. So plus, these guys are great. I've known them for a long time. I've known a lot of the people that they listed off that put together this film. And there's some great people and great researchers. So I wish them all the luck in the world. And I'm happy to be here, you know, promoting the film and helping them get the word out there about the film. And I'm very grateful that they included me and my thoughts, even though, of course, I'm more skeptical about this topic. But I'm happy that they kind of let me speak my mind. And, you know, if you've seen some of the clips and stuff, they didn't cut me out, you know, so that was nice that they were, you know, put that perspective in there as well. So I also want to thank Martin Willis for helping us with the news. Let's see other news out there. I want to thank all my Patreon patrons. Thank you so much for helping out. It really does help. You know, I, of course, spend a lot of time keeping up on UFO news and information to share with you all. And it ain't easy, and it takes a lot of time, and I'm afraid, you know, I would like to keep doing it if possible. So if you could, you know, there's a lot of people, most people are going to Patreon and just kind of putting in a buck a month, and that is fine. That is perfectly fine. Thank you so much for that. It also helps if you, you know, purchase any products like the t-shirts, the Open Minds t-shirts that you'll find at the Teespring at openminds.tv, or if you go to the UFO Congress store and purchase any of the super cool stuff that you see there. The UFO Congress is ran by my girlfriend, but it does help me when she does well, and she is hitting a happy mood as well. But speaking of the UFO Congress, we have almost a complete list now. Some of the exciting people that'll be there that we've added more recently are like James Fox. So he creates documentaries. You're going to get a sneak peek on his much awaited, super exciting documentary. And there is so much in there that's exciting, so you'll be able to see more about that. Of course, we're going to have Kevin Day, and there's always late breaking news about ATIP, and who has that news? George Knapp and Jeremy Corbell. But I'll also feature some of the other cool speakers that we're going to have. You know, one that I'm really excited about, I haven't heard speak before, is Tui Snyder. And she's doing a talk on the airships. So in the 1890s, there was a UFO flap, and they called them airships. And she's going to be talking about that. So that's really exciting historical stuff. I've heard great things about her talk, so I'm very excited for that. And also, for the first time at the UFO Congress, we're going to have Richard Dolan's wife, Tracy. So I saw Richard and Tracy at AlienCon. It was great to see them again. Had a great conversation with Richard. And Tracy, I'm so excited to hear her talk. Of course, she's going to be talking about remote viewing, which she's done for quite some time. And some people may not realize that this Pentagon project, really their head scientist, Hal Puthoff, that's what he started in, government programs remote viewing, which is kind of a psychic ability to see information that apparently, you know, they proved was something real back in the 70s. And the government had for decades these programs where law enforcement officials were coming to these groups that Hal had and others with Russell Targ and others had put together where they were remote viewing information. Extremely interesting. So that's going to be a great talk too. So go to UFOCongress.com. You'll be able to see all the information there that's going on and get tickets. And right now you can get discounted prices. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be downtown Phoenix, and it's going to be an incredible event. So I really, really hope to see you there. Otherwise, there's also Roswell coming up in a couple weeks. I'll be speaking there. I'll be doing a couple talks, and we'll have a booth there. Roswell is always fun. It starts on July 4th and runs for the rest of that weekend. I believe July 4th is a Thursday this week. So that'll be a lot of fun too. Otherwise, I hope you guys are having a great time. You know, sorry for the audio being a little shaky at the beginning of the show. I was actually, you know, on the road for AlienCon, but I wanted to get this show together anyway, and that's why it's a day late. But hey, Better late than never is what they say. Next week, we have a really cool show with Chuck Zukowski and Heather Taddy of Alien Highway. So Chuck, of course, is a good friend. We've got multiple video or interviews with him on the podcast here. But now he's got this TV show on the Travels Channel that's really cool. It's great. You guys should check it out, Alien Highway. And we're going to be talking to Chuck and Heather about that next week. So I guess until then, I want to thank Caleb Hanks for the opening and close music. I want to thank Systematics for the bumper music. And of course, I want to thank you for joining us this week. And we will talk to you again next week with our exciting Alien Highway show. Until then, adios, muchachos.
Spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.